Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator Dave Canales was the right man for the job, and it's not just us saying it. That and more on today's episode of Locked On Bucs.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you are joining us live right now. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Jarko, SB Nation's BucsNation.com's deputy editor. Said that a little bit backwards, but that's okay. Of course, joined by my co-host, David Harrison of Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. Make sure you are following all the action on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the National Football League. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. The winners and losers of the Dave Canales hire, including quarterback Kyle Trask, and Locked On Seahawks share some insight into the new Bucs offensive coordinator coming up. But first, Dave Canales was absolutely the right hire for the Buccaneers offensive coordinator position. And when we compare where the team is today and the candidates that were interviewed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we can see why. Earlier this week, James, we ranked the known candidates and ranked Rams assistant head coach and tight ends coach, now Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator Thomas Brown, at the top of that list, Lions assistant head coach and running backs coach Scotty Montgomery second, and Coach Canales was honestly ranked third. Now, we said that if Thomas left Tampa without a deal, it was not going to happen, and that obviously was the case because he left Tampa without a deal. It didn't happen, and now he's working for the Carolina Panthers, which is what we predicted as well. Montgomery, to me, the reason he was second place in those rankings was more of a Todd Bowles forcing his mentality on this team, hiring a run-first coach with his hand in Jonathan Taylor's development over a coach that really fit what this roster was capable of. So I owe Coach Bowles an apology because that's really the direction I thought he was going to go to. I mean, Thomas Brown has a running back coach history. So is Coach Montgomery. I really thought Todd Bowles going to get him a running guy. Instead, they go with Canales, who has the resume to help improve the biggest question mark on Tampa's roster right now, while using what I think is a better supporting cast on this roster than the one he was working with in Seattle.
Yeah, and of course, that question mark is the quarterback position, because if rumors and reports are to be believed, Kyle Trask is going to get his shot to win the starting quarterback job, which, of course, means your ceiling on a veteran quarterback addition is Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield, like kind of however you see those two ranked. But that's basically your peak, right? So while Canales is a guy that most Bucs fans have just heard of, he's been around for like a really long time. He got his start super, super young. I think he was 28 years old when he joined Pete Carroll back in 2009 at USC. So he was an assistant strength coach with Pete Carroll at Southern Cal. And then in 2010, when Carroll became the head coach of the Seahawks, Canales got a phone. You know, his life was kind of like, what are we doing? He and his wife were talking about it. Like, he went from a JV high school football coach to all of a sudden strength and conditioning at USC. Now he's like, I don't know where our lives are going. And it was a really cool video. There's even a moment where he and his wife prayed on it. They're a very Christian-based, oriented family. They prayed on it, opened up their eyes, and they saw the bird that the Seahawks modeled after. Shortly after that, Pete Carroll gives him a call and says, hey, I need you to come to Seattle. I need you to be my wide receivers coach, which is exactly what Canales did until 2017, when he became the quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator in 2018 up until last season. So that is what he has done over the course of the last few years. And a lot of people are going to look at this hire based mostly on what Geno Smith was able to accomplish, winning the comeback player of the year. But you take a look into Canales' history with Seattle, and it goes far beyond Geno Smith just winning comeback player of the year. So if you take a look, 5 years as the quarterback's coach and the passing game coordinator for Canales in Seattle. Over those 5 years, the Seattle Seahawks quarterback every single season has been named to the Pro Bowl. Russell Wilson from 2018 through 2021. And then, of course, Geno Smith last year was a Pro Bowl selection. You take a look at the passing yards. You know, the worst output was 3,000 yards. You know, just a little bit over 3,000 yards back in 2018. Every single season, minimum 30 touchdown passes. And then you have Russell Wilson, who in 4 years under Canales sets his career low in interceptions, not once, but twice. You know, he has fewer in 5 years of quarterback play. The Seahawks have fewer than 10 interceptions three times. You have Tyler Lockett, who feasted. He had numerous seasons of, you know, a minimum of 1,000 yards receiving, multiple seasons of 10 plus touchdowns. There were two seasons where both Lockett and DK Metcalf both hit 1,000 yards, both hit double-digit touchdowns. It's what Canales has been able to do with Seattle, with Russell Wilson, with Geno Smith, with the receiving core. He's been really, really good.
Yeah. And look, I mean, this all started at the same time Brian Schottenheimer becomes the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. But even after he departed, this success has continued. And if not, it's gotten more impressive. And the constant in that situation has been Coach Canales. So you break those numbers down even further. Under Canales, the Seattle Seahawks' best points per game average finished sixth in the National Football League. Their worst was 16th, still top half of the National Football League. Prior to Canales becoming the quarterback's coach and the passing game coordinator, 2010 to 2017, it's eight seasons. Their best finish was fourth, one, or they beat that top finish one time. They were worse than Canales. I mean, and again, it's not just Canales, but we're talking about him as a coach here. They were worse than the worst position they finished in under Canales four times in those eight seasons. Canales, again, talking back to what James said, 30-plus touchdown passes all 5 years as a passing game coordinator. Before Canales was the passing game coordinator, they did that just twice. Again, 8 years. Fewer than 10 interceptions four times under Canales. Before Canales, just three times. Four 10 TD receiving receivers. Yeah. Under Canales before that, Seattle did that just twice. Six 1,000-yard receivers in 5 years. They did it just twice before him. Five Pro Bowl starting quarterbacks, like James said, in 5 years. In 8 years, under Pete Carroll, before Canales was a passing game quarterback, they did it an equal five times with three more years to take a crack at it. And guys, remember, Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks for six of those eight seasons before Canales. So the conclusion here from all these numbers is that while, yes, Russell Wilson was a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, he was a very good quarterback on his own with his quarterback coach, with his offense coordinator prior to that, was doing pretty good for himself. Canales helped Russell Wilson and this passing game take their game to another level once he became the quarterback's coach and the passing game coordinator. And that production, again, has sustained through two offensive coordinator switches, with Canales being the constant in that quarterback room, ending up with Geno Smith winning the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, and we're not done talking about Coach Canales, but we are just starting to get to know him. So we are going to hear from Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, who is going to tell us more next on Locked On Bucks. Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is presented by America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, super, super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. And you can get plus 7,500 odds on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning Super Bowl 58. The XFL also kicks off this weekend. Right now, the Arlington Renegades are the favorites at plus 430 odds to win the XFL championship this year. First, they'll look to defeat the Vegas Vipers this weekend. I'm taking the Vipers, and are favored by 3.5 points to do so. How about the fact that three of the XFL's eight teams play in Texas? So all due respect, Rock, Dwayne Johnson, there are 35 other states It would make sense to host an XFL team. Just saying. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. It's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
All right, guys, we're joined now on this Friday live episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast by Corbin K. Smith at Corbin Smith NFL on Twitter, Seahawks reporter for All Seahawks on Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation, and host of the Locked On Seahawks on this illustrious network here. And Corbin, we've already gone over some of the data, like the admin data points on Coach Canales and kind of where he came from and how long he's been in Seattle, because that's stuff we can Google, right? But we need you for the stuff we can't Google. So the first question I want to know about Coach Canales: what's his energy like in the building when you're around him on the practice squad, or on the practice squad, on the practice field? You see him interacting with his players. And how have you observed him impacting Seahawks players in the past?
So I'll say this, David. First off, I actually have not had any one-on-one correspondence with Coach Canales. He's one of the few coaches, assistants on the staff that I have not had one-on-one correspondence with. With that being said, seeing training camp, being able to watch practices over the last several years, this guy is a high energy, big smile on his face all the time kind of coach. Very positive vibes from him on the practice field. And he is a grinder, not just evidenced by the fact that he climbed from being an assistant on Pete Carroll's staff at USC to now 13 years in Seattle being the receiver coach. And then he's a pass game coordinator, two different stints as quarterback coach. He has climbed the ladder under Pete Carroll in large part because of his work ethic. And you can see it on the practice field. Just this last season, for an hour, even hour and a half after practice, you could often see him out there with Geno Smith and most of the time Drew Lock getting extra reps and doing mental reps, throwing the football around. And so this guy is a true grinder, and you know the players love him. All you got to do is just look at Geno Smith's Twitter and just see all of the commentary that he has had on Dave Canales the last several weeks and how much he impacted his production on the field with 30 touchdown passes, just the third quarterback in Seahawks history to accomplish that feat at age 32, a breakout season. And so there were other factors at play, but Dave Canales certainly had a big role in Geno Smith's career revival. And this is a guy that just brings great energy to the practice field. Again, a contagious, positive attitude, fitting that he was on Pete Carroll's staff for as long as he was.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, I mean, he's been there a while, right, and really carved out a good role for himself on Pete Carroll's staff. So that's kind of the next question. Is this kind of the first year that you really felt the buzz and the momentum building up for Coach Canales to take that next step as an offensive coordinator? Or is this a coach that maybe for like maybe the last year or two, you kind of looked at this guy, or you guys in the media room have kind of looked at this guy and said, you know what, he's a coach that's going to go places?
I'm actually really surprised that he's just now getting his first opportunity to be an offensive coordinator, because he has had his hands on game planning for the Seahawks offensively under two different offensive coordinators. During Brian Schottenheimer's tenure from 2018 to 2020, he was the passing game coordinator and quarterback coach for a good chunk of that period. And so he has had his imprint on the offense the Seahawks have ran. And with Shane Waldron the last 2 years, the pass game coordinator and also quarterback coach this past season. And so he was ready for this opportunity. And you just look at the numbers that his quarterbacks have put up. And obviously Russell Wilson was already an established starting quarterback, a Pro Bowl quarterback when Dave Canales became the passing game coordinator and was quarterback coach. But really, this coincided with Russell Wilson taking that next step and being an MVP candidate for a good chunk of the 2020 season when he started off red hot. Part of that was Dave Canales and the coaching that he had as their quarterback coach. And then Geno Smith completing almost 70% of his passes over the last two seasons in 20 starts. And we know Geno Smith had less than a 59% completion rate in his career going into his time in Seattle. So just the tangible improvements that those two quarterbacks made, with him obviously having a big part of that with his coaching and his positivity, the focus on technique and fundamentals, he's going to bring that with him. And the biggest question is going to be, how does he handle the play calling duties? Because he hasn't done that in college or the NFL. His last offensive coordinator job was his first year as a coach at a high school in California. But don't mistake that for not being prepared, because he has been involved with the game planning process for several years in a row with two different coordinators, two different systems in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went back to your episode that you dropped on Wednesday when you guys found out that Dave would be leaving, and you dropped some really good insight into who he is as a coach on that episode. So, Bucs fans, if you want to know more about Dave Canales, go to Locked On Seahawks, find that episode on Wednesday, and you'll find out a lot more, including that interesting nugget of information about his high school days. But again, clarifying, that doesn't mean he's not a prepared coach. It just means it's been a minute since he's had to be in the weeds with it. So Corbin, obviously, you know Coach Canales, you know kind of what he's going to bring and what the stylistically, what the offense will probably look at. When you look at this Buccaneers roster, from a Seattle standpoint, where do you kind of look at and say, okay, he's already got the pieces he needs here in this position? And then where do you see the biggest hole on the Bucs roster right now?
Well, first off, they've got the receivers to run the system with Mike Evans. Chris Godwin will be more than a year removed from his ACL tear. They got a couple other young guys in the receiving room that they should be able to get involved very quickly. I anticipate that this offense is going to be a little bit of a blend of Brian Schottenheimer and Shane Waldron, because those are the two coordinators that Canales worked hand in hand with, and he'll have his own imprint on the offense as well. But they're going to take their shot plays downfield, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin can both win doing that. So they have the weapons in the receiving game. Where I think they are going to be obviously lacking right now, clearly the quarterback position. That is a spot without Tom Brady. They're going to have to figure out what direction they're going. And I also look at running back. I like Leonard Fournette. I don't know that Leonard Fournette at this stage of his career, though, is going to be the right fit, especially if they're going to be running mostly zone concepts. I anticipate that they're going to be attacking the running back position. Maybe Rashad White ends up being the guy, but this is a really good running back draft class. I anticipate Tampa Bay might pick one fairly early that's going to give him a bell cow back that he can work with that fits his offense. But I think the line being healthier, maybe go out and get another tackle to go with your line. But the line should be in decent shape as long as they can stay healthy. The running back position and maybe getting another tight end. I mean, their tight ends are getting to be a little bit older. So those would be position groups that I would think Tampa Bay is going to be emphasizing, with quarterback being the biggest question mark.
Yeah, you're singing my song, Corbin. I mean, they've got a good young running back, one good young tight end, but I want to see them get more this offseason. So you and I are on the same page already. This is a big question for me, and I kind of go back to Chris Swaggy Baker, and Bucs fans aren't going to appreciate me bringing him up. First of all, hope he's doing well. For those who don't know, he suffered a stroke in January. Hear that he is recovering, so hope he's doing well health-wise. But from a player standpoint, right, for the Buccaneers, when he left Washington and went to Tampa Bay, my apprehension was that Washington didn't even attempt to re-sign him. Like, they didn't even lowball him. They just said, hey, dude, good luck. So is the Seahawks media group, right, and your sense in the fan base, are you guys happy that Dave Canales is leaving? And are you happy for yourselves, which would be bad, or are you happy for Dave?
Oh, this is a huge loss for the Seahawks coaching staff. But Pete Carroll is never going to stop an assistant, especially somebody like Canales that's been with him for such a long time. He is never going to be a roadblock to stop that coach from pursuing a promotion, which clearly this is a promotion, getting his first chance to be an offensive coordinator. So I think fans, if anything, it's just bittersweet happiness, because they don't like to see him go, especially the work he did with Geno Smith this past season. He was integral in Geno Smith having that revival season. At the same time, fans are really happy to see him get this opportunity. And certainly Pete Carroll will get a chance at the combine to hear what he thinks about this. But I'm sure that Pete Carroll is feeling the same way. It's bittersweet because he doesn't want to lose him. At the same time, he's always been eager to help his assistants move up the ladder and get new experiences with new teams. Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to hear. I mean, that's what Bucs fans want to hear, is that they're happy because he's getting opportunity, not happy to see him leave. That would be a very bad omen. But he's not the only one joining the Tampa staff from Seattle. And I don't think this is official at the time that we're talking about. Wide receiver coach Brad Idzik also joining Canales in Tampa. What can you tell us about him?
So he's actually been here, I believe now he was with the team for three seasons, but he's got a long background in Seattle because his father actually came up in Seattle's front office before he became the Jets general manager. And he's been working with Sanjay Lal two of the past 3 years. Lal had 1 year in Jacksonville, sandwiched in between those. So Lal's been the one that's gotten a lot of the attention. But Idzik has also been involved with the development of some of Seattle's young receivers, notably Dariq Young this past season, the seventh-round pick out of Lenoir Ryan. Now, he only had two catches, but he was heavily involved in the offense second half of the season. He's a really good run blocker. They were putting him as a fullback some plays, a receiver playing fullback, and he did well there. And so Izik is getting this opportunity. Clearly, he left a positive impression on Dave Canales as well. Canales was heavily involved in the passing game, so he got to see the work habits for Izik working with Sanjay Law with the receivers. And so this is a younger coach that is going to get his opportunity now to take on a much larger role with another team. And maybe he can use this to catapult himself to an even higher position down the road. So again, it's all about climbing those coaching ladders. And Pete Carroll has had as many assistants as anybody that have done this over the past decade for a reason, because Pete Carroll's a pretty darn good coach in his own right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that's an understatement. You mentioned your thoughts on Geno Smith potentially going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in your Wednesday episode in that first segment of the show. So Bucs fans, if you're curious about that, make sure you go to Locked On Seahawks. Again, that Wednesday episode, that's right there in the first segment. You can't miss it. It's great stuff. But I've actually got this little inner circle of some Bucs media people that I talk to, and they're more curious about Drew Lock. So, you know, I know it's a short sample size, right? But what are your thoughts on Drew Lock?
All the physical tools, and that's always been the talk about Drew Lock. He can throw the ball a country mile. He's got the accuracy when he is making good decisions. That is the biggest problem with Drew Lock, and unfortunately, that is one of the reasons that he lost the competition to Geno Smith last offseason in training camp. The decision-making, he just has too many brain farts, and we saw it in their Dallas preseason game where he made a couple throws that made your jaw drop like, wow, that was an incredible throw. And then he would turn around and telegraph an interception that was really ugly. And he did that a couple times in that game. I will say this, Dave Canales, we've seen the work he has done with Geno Smith and Russell Wilson. If he believes in Drew Lock, I would be stunned if Drew Lock is not wearing a Buccaneers uniform when they open OTAs this spring. I anticipate that this is a relationship that has a very strong possibility of happening. I don't see Geno Smith. And again, you can listen to my podcast for me to explain all the reasons why I don't anticipate him going down to Tampa Bay with Dave Canales. But Drew Lock, absolutely. This may be his best chance, his final chance to start. And that was for Geno Smith last year. Look what happened. I'm not saying that Drew Lock didn't have the same success, but at the same time, he has the physical tools and he showcased some of the confidence in Seattle's practice. He had all that extra work with Canales. So if there's a time for him to finally turn the on switch on, it is with the Buccaneers and Dave Canales having some of that familiarity and a little continuity for him rather than just bouncing around with new coordinators.
Absolutely. Look, hey, if worst case scenario, he's very gift worthy. So, I mean, Bucs fans should get some good gift work out of it. Corbin Smith, Seahawks reporter for All Seahawks and Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation, host of Locked On Seahawks on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. Corbin, appreciate you for coming through.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
So the Seahawks are sad to lose Canales, which means Bucs fans, you should be getting pretty excited because it looks like you've won in this deal. But some have lost. More on that next on today's episode of Locked On Bucs. Today's episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard us talk about this mobile game app, and unfortunately, Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers was our Locked On NFL champion, although I was cheated because the game is scripted, and there's nothing David can say about that to change my mind. But if you have ever dreamt of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise, your dreams can now come true, and this game is for you. You're going to manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through seasons, and lead your team to glory trying to build a dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, renaming your left tackle, Donovan Smith, and releasing him, and steering your franchise through free agency and the draft, plus so much more. Ultimate Football GM is completely free, and the best part is it's playable offline. Literally anywhere, anytime you want football, you have it right there in your pocket. Plus, we've created a Locked On League for you to compete against Locked On fans all over the world. Could you be the ultimate Locked On Football GM? Choose the Locked On League in the app to join, and Locked On Bucs listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On, all caps, all one word, in the game store. That is Locked On, all caps. So make sure to check it out today. To download, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app store. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are winners for hiring Dave Canales to be their next offensive coordinator. We agree on that. Clearly, so does Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks. But there are other winners to talk about. There are also some losers to talk about. But we're going to start with the winners. And my big winner in all of this is Kyle Trask. He is going to get the opportunity now to potentially compete for the starting job. But when you take a look at what Dave Canales has been able to do with Russell Wilson, with Geno Smith, this is probably the best case scenario for Trask. We know that Canales can get the job done. He can make sure that quarterbacks are performing in the offense the way they are supposed to. He mitigates risk. It is, you know, a crucial, crucial moment in Kyle Trask's development, because if he doesn't win the starting quarterback job now, I don't think he ever will. And honestly, I believe that Canales is probably the best guy for that job. I know I talked, you know, not too long ago about why I thought Thomas Brown was the perfect fit. But as far as developing your third-year quarterback that you took in the second round, Canales is 100% the right choice and could do some great things with Kyle Trask. So I think he emerges here with the opportunity to be the biggest winner in this deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, that's that, you know, going back to segment one, like my little public apology to Todd Bowles, not that he asked for it or probably even cares too much if he gets one. But, you know, I fully went into this offensive coordinator search thinking that this was going to be Todd Bowles, a defensive head coach, saying, I want to control the ball. I want to run the ball. Get me a coach that knows how to do that. And some of the candidates, Thomas Brown being one of them, kind of fit that mold. But going here to Dave Canales, what I see now is a coach and a staff, really. I mean, I'm sure Jason and Bruce, you know, had their kind of had their say in this whole thing too. But a staff, a leadership element in Tampa that said, what is our team best equipped to do? Again, Leonard Fournette, you know, whether he's going to be a long-term answer or not, whether he's even on the team this next season or not, is one thing. Rashad White obviously looked very good. I'm an advocate for drafting a running back every single year. You know, Tajay Spears out of Tulane. Wouldn't be mad about him joining the Buccaneers this offseason. And that would fit kind of that zone run scheme that Corbin was talking about that Seattle ran so often in Seattle. And then you look at the receivers and they've got kind of the horses for it. A lot of comments. Shout out to everybody viewing here on the live. I mean, JJ, Sam, Jay, John, TB13, Jonathan, all of you talking about Kyle Trask. Like, I'm not putting up any comments because I'm like, everybody's talking Kyle Trask and we're talking Kyle Trask soon. So I'm going to save them all for when we get here, and this is where we've gotten. This is what this is all about. And I love the move. I mean, again, you know, you're Todd Bowles, you're looking at your team and you're saying, what are we most suited to do? Malcolm, how dare you not be impressed with Rashad White? Anyway, we forgive you. Thanks for joining us on the live. But my big winner in this whole thing is going to be Drew Locke. And Matthew, yes, all of Tom Brady's dead money is coming to roost, is how I like to say it, this year, because he retired before June 1st. So Drew Locke is my big winner. Corbin talked about it. The reports coming out of Seattle, including from Corbin and other people on the beat there, is that Drew Locke and this coach are very tight. Like, they're very connected. They're very in sync. And what do coaches like to do? I mean, why was Blaine Gabbert in Tampa? Because he knew Bruce Arians' system. You know what I mean? This is a very common thing. That's why we have like the Washington Commanders, because Ron Rivera likes bringing all the former Panthers in. Lovie Smith brought all the Bears to Tampa. Like, this is what coaches like to do. So I don't fathom a world where Canales and the Buccaneers get outbid for Drew Locke. His gifts aren't that good. They're pretty good, but they're not that good. So Drew Locke is my big winner in this one, because I think he's coming to Tampa not to be the starter per se, but I think to compete. And you know what? I think that's what you should want, is you want quarterbacks to compete. If Trask beats him, so be it. But if Locke beats him, so be it as well.
Yeah, I certainly think that Drew Locke is now in a position where we could end up seeing him in Tampa. And again, like you just said, competition is good, right? If Locke wins, great. If Trask wins, great. If it's, you know, somebody else, the name escapes me now, Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee.
If he gets drafted, Hendon Hooker in the third. Let's do this.
Yes. Yes, I'm all about that life. If he comes in and that knee's good and he wins, awesome. Fantastic. We're gonna switch from the winners to the losers here. And Corbin stole a little bit of my thunder. But my biggest loser in all of this is Leonard Fournette. And I feel like Leonard Fournette was already kind of he was one of the bubble guys, and I realized we haven't gotten to kind of the roster bubble, salary cap cut, you know, type of conversations yet. But to me, Leonard Fournette was kind of an obvious guy that was at a huge risk of being cut. There's an out in that contract after this past season, before the next 2 years kick in or whatever. He didn't perform. He didn't perform up to the standard that the Buccaneers expected, probably not up to the standard that Leonard Fournette expects of himself. And this is a deep running back class. So Leonard Fournette doesn't fit what we expect Canales to do as far as the run game is concerned. He's going to bring in a running backs coach. And, you know, Leonard Fournette probably doesn't fit into their long-term plans anymore. So, you know, you're hoping for the kid out of Tulane. Give me Chase Brown and Rashad White as the running backs. I would be all about that life. But yeah, they're going to look for the quicker, the faster, the elusive type of backs in this system, I would assume. So I think Leonard Fournette is probably one of the first men out here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Michael in the live chat, who's a more logical hire, Locke or Mayfield? I'm going to lean Locke just because of the scheme familiarity and the familiarity with the coach. Mayfield, I think most people would agree, probably has the highest upside. I don't know that he's going to look for a situation where he's not kind of the favorite heading into training camp. But James, real quick, what do you say on that one?
I would say logical would be Locke in terms of knowing the staff, obviously. Logical in terms of if the Buccaneers want to put themselves in a position to stay competitive in the NFC South. That's where I would lean Mayfield. But I think the more likely is Drew Locke.
Because don't forget, again, that Seattle wide receiver coach coming over to Tampa. So, I mean, not only is the quarterback familiar, but he's also familiar with what the wide receivers are now going to be getting taught as well. I think that's pretty big. Matthew is trying to spin this episode out of control. Taylor Heinicke is better than Drew Locke. I think, Matthew, we will talk about that another time. I am a Taylor Heinicke guy. We will talk about that, I promise you. My biggest loser, I'm going to do this quickly because we are already over time. We're going to get fired from our own show. Byron Leftwich, look, we put a lot of blame on Byron Leftwich. Some people think he's more of a scapegoat. I think it gets spread to a lot of people, but Byron Leftwich called a very run-heavy offense with Tampa Bay Bucks, especially early on in games. This is a clear signal that Todd Bowles is not interested in that style. So not only is he moving on from the man, he's moving on from the mentality.
Yep, and I'm going to keep things quick as well. My second loser in all of this is Blaine Gabbert. If Blaine Gabbert had any thoughts that I've been here for a few years, I know the coaches, I know the facility, I know the front office, I know the players, all that. I could still have a chance to come in, compete with Kyle, win the starting quarterback job. That's gone. That's flat up gone. Thank you for being a solid backup for a couple of years, Blaine. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah, my second loser in this is Donovan Smith. You know what I mean? Again, clearly you're not going to abandon the passing game. Nobody's going to abandon the passing game anyway, but I definitely view this as a more pass version of an offense. I think you're still going to see the running backs get involved in the passing game, tight ends in the passing game as well, but that means you need pass protectors. Donovan Smith, 9 more pressures allowed in this last season than the second most pressures on the Buccaneers offensive line that was starting at least 2 backups. You can't do that if you're a starting left tackle in the National Football League. So Donovan Smith, I've said it before about office coordinators and coaches, one way or another, a different left tackle's got to show up in 2023, whether it's Donovan Smith better or a new guy altogether. Donovan Smith, what we saw, cannot return to Tampa in 2023.
Yeah, and my second winner in all of this as of right now is Russell Gage. I think he now has an opportunity to really maximize what Canales has been able to do with the quarterbacks. And then, of course, what Idzik is going to be able to do with these wide receivers. You heard Corbin talk about, how energetic he is, how much work he did with a 7th-round pick to get him involved. I think Russell Gage is really going to benefit from what Canales is going to do offensively. They're going to get him involved. He's got his Lockett and his DK in Mike and Godwin. But what kind of creativity, what kind of opportunity now is Russell Gage going to get? I know Russell Gage struggled last year. You all know that I am a big Russell Gage fan, and I know we can see better out of him in the coming year if he's on the team. But we're going to talk about that kind of stuff later on.
Yeah, we got a long offseason ahead of us. My last winner, I think, is going to take some people by surprise here. The Seattle Seahawks have been missing one valuable thing to really fully unlock their passing game over the last 5 years. That's been a number three receiver that can do some damage. Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State. And this is not an Ohio State thing. Don't even go there with me. Slot receiver, doesn't have a burner speed, but you pair him with Mike Evans, you pair him with Chris Godwin. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba just entered the conversation to be a possible draft pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to get more into draft conversations. Don't freak out just yet. I'm not saying he's the number one, you know, pick for your Buccaneers yet, but I think he's entered the conversation. James, Evan Klosky is going to have something to say about what I just said, so make sure you bring that up to him. But fortunately, we've got a mock draft Monday episode coming up. James, tell the people about it.
Yes, yes, we do. And look, you all know I was pounding the table for Olave last year. I can set aside my bias. I like Jackson Smith and Jigba. So, David, we'll just make a deal. The Bucs can draft Jackson Smith and Jigba, so you get a Buckeye to cover. They can draft Chase Brown or Sidney Brown, so I get an Illini to cover, and everybody's happy. But we're going to talk about more of that on Mock Draft Monday. And now we have an offensive coordinator to anticipate, but so do you. So send in your mock drafts, and if yours makes it on the air, you are entered into our NFL draft giveaway. And honestly, we may be giving away more than one prize this year. So we want to thank you all for your submissions that you can send to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com or send them to the DMs at LockedOnBucks. But we also want to thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. Check out my work over at BucksNation.com. Check out David's stuff over at BucksGameDay.com. Subscribe to the YouTube. We appreciate each and every one of you. And follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. We thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.